Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. We believe. We believe the report that God gave us concerning His Son. Hallelujah. There's a very important element in everything here, and that is the faith factor. That we can hear the Word, but the Word must be mixed with faith. A confident assurance that God actually means what He says. We believe what He says. And when we believe what God says, we will live accordingly. Our life will reflect that our faith is authentic, that it's genuine. Amen. So this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith in who? Jesus Christ alone. There is no other salvation, amen, no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So our confidence is in Christ alone. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Lord, we just thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for Your presence here. Lord, we want to hear You today. We want to experience You today. We want to be changed by You today. We want You to be glorified today, honored today, exalted today. In our praise, in our midst, in all we say, all we do, Lord, that You will be glorified is our heart's desire, Lord, because You deserve the glory. You deserve it. You are worthy of it all, Lord. Hallelujah. You are worthy, Lord, of it all. Oh, blessed be Your name, Lord. Glory to the Lamb of God. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, we believe and therefore we see. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You have given us access to Your throne of grace. And we come by way of the blood of Jesus, the way of the new covenant, Lord. Lord, we know that everything we have is from You. All the good things that we enjoy, Lord. Even the confidence, Lord, the faith that we need to believe. So today, Father, I pray that You would open our understanding. Lord, that You will give us ears to hear what You are saying and that You would grant me, Lord, the utterance to speak Your word, Lord, that I may speak the very oracles of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 this morning. Title of the message is The Test of True Faith. The Test of True Faith. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith. What? Kept by the power of God through faith, for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Anybody had some trials? That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, what? Honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. There is comfort in knowing that in our sufferings in this world, there is purpose. Amen? And everyone in life suffers. Would you agree? But sadly, the sufferings of the ungodly are only a foretaste of the hell which they will endure eternally. And you know, the Lord is not willing that anyone should perish, and neither should we, right? However, this is not true for the born-again believer. God has not appointed us to His wrath. Amen. But He has appointed us to believe, to possess, all right, life in Jesus. Now, one of the benefits of the afflictions in this life for believers is that the testing of our faith always leads to promotion in the kingdom of God, but only if we endure patiently. You see, you don't take a test for no reason, amen? If you're taking a test, it's because you want to pass the test, because you want a what? A promotion, right? Or a good grade. Yeah. You want the benefit of the test, right? And so it's very important that we endure the testings, the temptations even of this life, because it's commendable to God when we do. In 1 Peter 2:19, it says, "For this is commendable, if because of conscience towards God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully." Now hear this. It's one thing to suffer for what we did wrong, amen? It's another thing to suffer for doing right. For what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently. If you what? Take it patiently. This is commendable before God. In other words, these things are going to happen. And how we respond is very important. You see, it's not so much about what happens to us as how we respond to what happens to us. So Peter contrasts our faith with gold. And of all the substances known to man, gold is one of the most imperishable. But even gold can perish through time, erosion, much use, pressure, even fire. Even gold can perish. But he says your faith is indestructible, basically. It's something that cannot perish. That's how important it is. And I really want to talk about the subject of faith. Okay, two kinds of faith. One is faith in God and faith of God. And this is something that we need to constantly remind ourselves about, because sometimes we can confuse the two. All of us, all right, are given a measure of faith. A faith to believe. Faith in God is basically when we put our trust, right, in God through Jesus Christ and his work on the cross. And that is saving faith. And it's foundational to our personal relationship with Jesus, okay? We all need to put our trust, our faith in Jesus, amen, for salvation. So when we pray or worship God, we are exercising faith in God. When we call upon the name of the Lord, we are praying in faith to or towards God. Amen? And when we give praise and we give worship to God, we're directing that towards God. So we put our faith in God there. Amen? And so it is a faith. Faith in God is a faith that is directed upwards, if you will, towards God in heaven. But now the faith of God is for speaking to that which has been placed under our authority. So we have faith in God, but then we must exercise the gift or the grace of faith. God has authorized us to go in his name, amen, and represent him, and to speak, all right, in his name, to those things that have been put under our authority in Jesus' name. For example, issuing a command to diseases or to demons. It's not always about asking. We ask, but then we also exercise the faith of God, all right? Instead of just the faith in God, we also exercise the faith of God by the grace he supplies us. First, we come to him and we ask. Amen? And then we take a step of faith, all right? And we exercise, if you will, authority over those things that God has placed under our authority. And the things that are placed under our authority are the things that God has promised us. And we got to get a hold of this. Receiving a miracle is a result of faith in God, but also the faith of God, the faith that God releases so that you can believe beyond what you could believe for naturally. As the man said, Lord, help my unbelief. What is he asking for? Asking for the faith of God. I'm looking to you, but Lord, I'm struggling with unbelief. Help me. So it is God's faith coming down upon us so that we can do the works that Jesus did. How many know that you were called to do the works that Jesus did? Every one of us in this room was called to do the works that Jesus did. Because he has authorized us in his name to preach the gospel. Come on. He's authorized us in his name to heal the sick, to cast out demons. Yeah, even to raise the dead. He's authorized us in his name to exercise the faith that comes from him. The grace of faith. So I pray, Lord, grant me the grace of faith. Grant me faith to believe so that I can step out beyond my human limitations and my own mind that plays tricks with me. Because when God grants you a grace of faith, the grace of faith, you have a supernatural confidence that comes upon you. To where now you can believe. Whereas before, in your natural reasoning, it's saying this is impossible. But with God, nothing is impossible. So we need to shift away our faith and our ability to be faithful to the faithful one. But God can do it. For God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Amen. For with God, what? Nothing shall be impossible. So what we need to do is we need to stretch out of where we've been in our own human reasoning and understanding into the realm of faith, which is a confident assurance in the power of God that he will do what he said he would do. And he's looking for vessels to do it through in this world to demonstrate that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that he is raised from the dead, bearing witness to the resurrection of Jesus. A changed heart, a changed life is bearing witness, amen, to the resurrection of Jesus. When you and I are saved and born again, amen, there is a witness. And we have that witness in us. And the world witnesses the change that takes place. Because when we heard the word of our salvation, we believed, we mixed it with faith, and that it became ours. When you ask God to forgive you, you must believe that he does. Because he wants to forgive. So we say, Lord, forgive me. And then by faith receive that by saying, thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Otherwise, you'll live continually under doubt, all right? Fear, condemnation. Always never really believing or wondering if God did ever forgive you. I don't know about you, but I've gone to the Lord many times over the same thing. Until the Lord dealt with me one day about it, and he says, I've already forgiven you that. Why do you keep coming back to me with that thing? Until I realized that somebody else had been whispering in my ear. Come on, he wants to rob you of your confidence in God by getting you to focus on what you did in the past so he can rob you for what God has in the future and in the now. Isn't that making sense? So it's what we believe will determine what we can receive and how we will live our lives. John 14:12, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Now, what did Jesus do? Jesus raised the dead. Come on. And I want you to kind of take another, I don't know, I've heard some theology on this scripture here, but what I believe he's saying is that when I go away to my Father, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. Amen. And there's going to be many more of you representing me in this world. Amen. And therefore, there's going to be a greater measure, if you will, of miracles taking place, because it's not just Jesus, amen, but it's now the people that he has called to partner with him in this world, amen. So there will be many more manifestations of his Spirit and power for the purpose of drawing attention to the one, amen, who is risen from the dead. You see, when the miracle comes, the argument's over. We can get into theological debates and use our intellect and wow people with how much we know, or argue people under the table, but you can still lose the person. It's not about winning an argument. It's about pointing somebody to Jesus, amen? To put their faith in Jesus so that they can receive the faith of God, the grace of God. It is by faith in God that we're indwelt, right? By Christ. And so as a result of the indwelling Christ, we have authority over demons and disease. And we exercise this authority with the faith of Christ who dwells within us. So we see an example of this in the testimony of David in 2 Samuel 22 and verse 1. Then David spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day when the Lord had delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior. You save me from violence." What is he doing? He's exercising faith in God. He's declaring, "This is who God is to me." He's giving God praise. "I will call upon the name of the Lord," right? "Upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. When the waves of death surrounded me, the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. And in my distress," how many know it's a good idea to call on the Lord? "I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God." Anybody ever cry out to God? Amen. Often. "And he heard my voice from his temple, and my cry entered his ears." Hallelujah. How many know that today the Lord is with us, in us? He's not a far off God. He's not a God that you have to call down from heaven. He is with us. Hallelujah. And so in his distress and his helplessness, David called upon the Lord. And the Lord graciously delivered him. So here again, we see where David was exercising faith in God. Faith in the Lord. But then we see a shift here. In this, where now he's exercising the faith of God. He first called upon the Lord, but then he exercised faith of God. Okay? That's how he was able to conquer his enemies. Now, hear this, because if you don't start to exercise your faith or exercise faith of God, your enemy's not going to stop harassing you. But you have to first have confidence in God and ask him for the grace, amen, to help you in your time of need. So David shifts from faith in to faith of God in verse 33. "God is my strength and power. He makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer and sets me on my high places. He teaches my hands to make war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. So you have also given me the shield of your salvation. Your gentleness has made me great. You enlarged my path under me so my feet did not slip." He's continuing to acknowledge who God is in his life. Amen. And now look at verse 38. I have pursued my enemies and destroyed them. See the shift? Neither did I turn back again till they were destroyed. You see, your enemy cannot defeat you unless you allow him to. David would not take no for an answer. He was going to deal with his enemies because he had faith in his God. He says, I have destroyed them and wounded them so that they could not rise. They have fallen under my feet. For you have armed me with strength of the battle. You have subdued under me those who rose against me. You have also given me the necks of my enemies so that I destroyed those who hated me. Do you see it? They looked, but there was none to save, even to the Lord, but he did not answer them. Verse 43, then I beat them as fine as the dust of the earth. I trod them like dirt in the streets, and I spread them out. So in this passage, we see an example in the natural of an ongoing battle in the invisible spiritual realm. How many know that we are in a spiritual war? Yes. So at the beginning, David cried out to the Lord, amen, in complete trust, and also in helplessness. He knew that he was no match for the enemy that he faced. And how many know that's a good place to start from? Humility. Understanding that the enemy that we are dealing with is greater than we are, except for the Lord in our lives. The Lord gives us the victory. He has overcome the foe already. And now he calls you and I to enforce his victory, to enforce what's already taken place. He has spoiled principalities and powers and rulers of wickedness. Jesus Christ has all authority in heaven and on earth. Go therefore, he said, in my name. I'll back you up. Exercise the faith of God. You have faith in God? Believe, right? Now God will do what he said he would do. And then he shifts again to the faith of God. This is a full confidence in his God-given abilities to destroy his enemies. So what God does is he equips us. He empowers us to do the work of the ministry. Right? Faith in God. We come to him. We receive the equipment, the armor, the sword. Amen. The anointing we need to defeat our enemies. But we are the ones that are supposed to deal with the devil. And if we don't, he will continue to beat you up and beat you down and lie to you. Sometimes we put up too much with his lies, don't we? Sometimes we're a little slow of realizing, I know I am, of realizing, hey, what's going on here? I've been listening to the wrong voice. And it's got me all twisted up here and in doubt, unbelief sometimes. But it was the Lord, hear this, who trained and equipped and sent David. David was no match for his enemies. Amen? Because God always does things above and beyond what we could ever do. David had great boldness in the Lord because he trusted him. He was able to overcome his enemies because of his faith in the Lord and the fact that he exercised faith of God. You and I today, as Paul had spoken to Timothy, we are in war and we are soldiers in the army of the Lord. And he gives us everything we need that pertains to life and godliness, amen, in order to enforce the victory of Christ here in the earth realm by first of all believing that God means what he says in his word. Faith in the word of God. Amen. Not just hearing it, but mixing it with faith, confident assurance that God actually means what he says. And I'm going to step out in faith based upon what God said, and I'm going to exercise faith and believe in my heart that I receive it. You see, we need to become as children sometimes again, don't we? In the simplicity of the message of Christ, the Lord made it simple enough so children can understand it. Sometimes we get all these formulas going on in our heads, and we make it difficult. Sometimes we just basically talk ourselves out of believing something. Well, what if nothing happens? What will people think if I pray and nothing happens? You see, we got to get ourselves out of the picture. We're not here to represent us to people. But we're doing this in Jesus' name. We believe and God brings the results. Amen? And we're okay with whatever God decides to do. We ask God to give us revelation so we can know what He's doing. Amen? But we have to step out. There's been times when I wasn't feeling it. And somebody asked me to pray for him. And guess what? God surprised me. And He surprised the person too, I'm sure. But we're just the vessel. But God wants us to be cooperating with Him in His mission. And that means I have to get past myself. I have to get past my own mind sometimes that conflicts with the will of God. We want people to know that Jesus is Lord. We're here to represent Him as ambassadors. People need to know that God's power is greater than Satan's power. How many know that even the power that Satan has was first given to him by God anyways? All things were created by him. Thrones, dominions, powers, principalities, all were created by him. Jesus and Satan are not in the same weight class. Amen. You have the creation and you have the creator. And the creator who is forever praised. And Jesus exalted to the highest place, the right hand of the Father, has delegated now authority to his people who now take that authority and enforce the victory that he won for us on Calvary through the signs and the wonders and the miracles, healings, deliverance, and most importantly, salvation. The greatest miracle is you and I transformed, saved, amen? And the world, the watching world, sees you and I as the sign and wonder. We are a sign and wonder in this world. Come on. We don't have to chase after signs and wonders. We are the sign and wonder that God displays before the watching world. We pursue the heart of God. Amen? But we obey the voice of God. He tells you to do something, and often it'll be beyond what you would naturally consider doing. But if you want to see the glory of God, you're going to have to step out. You have to break out of the shell of protectionism, self-protection. Come on. We need the faith of God that will so overwhelm my insecurities and my inabilities, come on, and my intellect even, to where now I have a supernatural faith, a confidence that came from God to do what God wants accomplished. Every one of us in this room, if you're in Christ, if you're born again, you're spirit-filled, the Holy Spirit's in you, amen. You've received an anointing. You've received a gift. You've received something from God that you can use. Amen. For the benefit of others. Somebody know the Lord came to do good. Amen. And He healed all who were oppressed of the devil. And now He's saying, I want you to continue in my footsteps. As the Father sent me, now I'm sending you. Go out. Amen. Wherever you live, wherever you work, wherever you find yourself, be looking for the opportunities. God will bring them. Amen. And don't be so quick. And I believe that sometimes God uses doctors, but the first person we should be calling on is the Lord. Amen. Dr. Jesus, and believing for a miracle. And sometimes we just need to persevere a little bit in that and overcome. Hallelujah. David cried out to the Lord in his helplessness. And God gave him the victory. God gave him the faith that he needed to conquer all of his enemies, because this poem was written, if you will, right after David had been delivered from all of his enemies and he had peace. He had defeated the giants. He defeated Gath and his sons, and these were literal giants on the earth. And he was just a regular sized guy, I'm sure. But he had confidence in the power of his God to give him the victory. So true faith is indestructible. It's faith in God who never leaves us or forsakes us. Remember Job, the story of Job. I mean, I don't know of anybody that suffered as many losses in one day as he did. You know, he sustained heavier losses in one day than most have in a lifetime. Yet he was able to say in Job 13:15, because he really trusted in the Lord, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I don't have to have all the answers. I don't understand everything that happens. Amen? But you're going to live your life stressed out and worried and fearful and in doubt and unbelief. Amen? If you don't get to the place where you say, you know what, I'm going to trust God with my life. Does your life belong to him? Did you give your life to Jesus? Amen? Is he your Savior? Amen? Then you entrust him. Amen? Everything to him. You believe him. You rest in him. He gives you assurance. He gives you peace. Amen. He didn't say there aren't going to be any storms, but he said, you'll have my peace. That passes all understanding. Even in the midst of the storm, you can have peace. You can have joy. Why? Because we have access to his table. Even in the presence of our enemies, you and I have been given access to the throne of our Father. All we have need of is in him. Hallelujah. I wanted to also talk a little bit about Daniel, you know, and the book of Daniel and the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Amen. How many remember that one? Hallelujah. And the king had erected this image of gold to himself, and he wanted everybody at the sound of the music, remember the story, to bow down and to worship. And these three said, no way, we're not going to do that. Our God is able to deliver us, but even if he doesn't, we're not bowing down. Why? They had faith in God. And because of their faith, God brought a great deliverance. Remember, there was a fourth man in the fire. And the king, Nebuchadnezzar, was puzzled. And he said, didn't we throw three in there? But there's a fourth one that looks like the sons of God. One translation says, the son of God. How many know it was? I believe it was Jesus. Amen. Where was he at? In the fire. In the fire is where he was. That was the safest place to be. We don't like going through the fire, but the fire is good for us. The fire refines us. It tests our faith. Amen. It refines us. Amen. It also helps us understand where we stand in our confidence. When you're tested. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, you know, I wish we could have a little advance notice when we're going to have a test sometimes, you know. Like the similar, this is only a test thing, right? This is only a test. Sometimes we're not realizing what's going on, but understand that God allows the test for the purpose of promotion. It's going to be good for you. If you handle it patiently, if you say, okay, Lord, I don't understand, but I'm going to trust you anyways. Like many times we say, when you don't understand with your head, trust with your heart. Trust his heart. His heart is good. How many know God demonstrated his love for us at the cross? That's the love of God. The disciples could not understand that. They were all distraught. They thought everything was over. But that was not the plan of God. That was just their human reasoning, trying to figure out why Jesus would be crucified. They all thought he was coming to deliver them from Roman oppression, and yet here he is being crucified. And they were all distraught and broken and scattered. They thought it was all over. That's, see, our human reasoning. Sometimes we get shaken like that, don't we? But God shows up sometimes in those darkest places as they're walking along the road of Emmaus, and some guy, they thought he was a gardener, was just walking with them, and their heads were down, and he said, "Well, what's bothering you guys? What's going on here? Haven't you heard?" It was Jesus, of course, that they were talking to, that they didn't recognize him. How many know the Lord is with us through it all? Sometimes you may not feel that he's with you, but you don't live by your feeling. You live by faith in what he promised. He said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you," if you're his child. How many know that it's easy to believe when conditions are favorable? It's easy to be a Christian when everything is going our way, and it's easy. How many know that standing for Jesus in this ungodly world will bring opposition and persecution? So you need to make up your mind now who you're going to serve, right, man? As for me and my house, we need to make up our mind that we're not going to bow down to the spirit of this age, the spirit of Antichrist, but we're going to stand for Jesus. If you stand for Jesus, he will stand for you. If you deny him, he'll deny you too. If you confess him before men, he said, "I will confess you before my Father." Amen? Will you bow down to the spirit of Antichrist, or will you remain faithful to the Christ, the true Christ? How many know there's no middle ground? I know a lot of people are trying to find a happy medium between the two, right? That doesn't work. You've got to make up your mind. Are you all in? We're all in. Because genuine faith will result in praise, honor, and glory when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven. So God's going to reward every true believer who has withstood the time of true testing. And the Lord himself will praise and reward all those who endure to the end. So our faith is going to be tested. And we're living in some days right now where, boy, it's the heat is being turned up. Mm-hmm. But that just means we get closer to Jesus, amen, because we know who's in the fire, amen. He's with us and will be with us. So hear this again. Our faith is not in our ability to be faithful, but in the faithful one. Our faith is in his faithfulness. Because if I'm just relying upon my faith or my ability to be faithful, I always fall short. Why? Because my mind gets in the way. My reasoning gets in the way. I have to get past me. And I have to discover the heart of God, and I have to pray that the Lord will grant me the ability to believe beyond what I see and what I feel, so that I'll have a confident assurance, as Elisha did, to take up the mantle of Elijah and do something with it. He didn't just put it in a display case in a museum somewhere. Amen. He picked up the mantle that fell from his master. Remember Elijah? And he took it. And it says what? He struck the water. He applied faith in the situation and said, "Where is the God of Elijah?" And then God parted the water. Amen. So there again, he had faith in God, Elijah being a type, I believe, of Jesus who was raised, amen, resurrected, ascended to heaven. And then he sent the Holy Spirit, the mantle, amen, and then Elisha picked it up. And he didn't just hold on to it and say, "Boy, I got goosebumps now." But he did something with what he had. He exercised faith. And they saw the results. See, God said, "The just shall live by faith." This is a walk of faith. Confidence that God will do what he said he will do. And 2 Timothy 2:11, this is a faithful saying. "For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. So every believer that endures shall also reign with Christ when he returns. So true faith has the quality of permanence. It's permanent. It's unshakable. True faith. Amen. It's not non-perishable. All right? So what we need is the faith of God to believe beyond what we see in the natural in order to receive the miracle that we need. That's in agreement with what the Father wants. So I believe our promotion in the kingdom will be determined by our faithfulness to the Lord during this present time. Think about it. God has gone away. Amen. The Lord has gone away. He's given responsibilities to us. He's given grace to us. He's given giftings to us. Amen. And he wants us to trade. He wants us to invest in this world, in the hearts of people. Amen. What we have received from him. Because he wants to share his kingdom and he wants to promote you. He wants to advance you. Amen. He wants to bless you with an abundant welcome into his kingdom. But I believe our promotion in the kingdom will be determined once again by our faithfulness to the Lord now during this dispensation of time. And we see that in the parable of the talents. Remember, there was five given two and then one, each according to his own ability. In Matthew 25:29, Jesus said, "For to everyone who has, more will be given." You've been faithful. And he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be what? Taken away. How many heard the expression, use it or lose it? Those who desire to be used for God's glory are given the means to do so. The more we do, the more we're enabled to do for him. Conversely, we can lose what we don't use. And the only way we can remain faithful to the end is by the grace of God. It's not in our own strength or ability. How many believe that God is shaking things up right now? Everything will be shaken. Amen. But those who have authentic, genuine faith in God, amen, will endure to the end. Our confidence is not in our ability to save ourselves, but in our God's ability to keep us. Hebrews 12:25, see that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. Those who reject God's voice are more responsible than those who broke the law. Under the law, we're all lawbreakers. But see that you don't refuse him who speaks from heaven now. Don't refuse the voice of the Holy Spirit. Don't quench the Holy Spirit, shut off the flow of the Holy Spirit, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Walk carefully with the Lord. Find out what pleases the Lord. Ask him to reveal to you his plan for you. And then set your hand to the plow and don't look back. We're pressing on. Amen? We're going forward here. I'm not going to dwell in the past, wallow, you know, in my sorrows. It's time to rise up again. Amen? Hit the reset button on the past and move forward with Jesus. This is a new day, a new beginning. Hallelujah. Let's make the most of every opportunity. Hebrews 12:28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace. We need that grace, don't we? We need grace to believe by which we may serve God acceptably. With reverence and godly fear. So there's faith in God. It's putting our trust in God through Jesus Christ and his work on the cross. This is saving faith. It's foundational to our personal relationship with the Lord. So when we pray again and we worship, we are exercising faith in God. But it is faith directed upwards towards God in heaven. Amen. But after we pray, amen, there's a time to pray and there's a time to move. Why are you on the side of the river? Why are you on the side of the Jordan? He says, get up and move over. Pat, cross over. See, there's a time to pray and there's a time to move, to act. Faith of God, again, is for speaking to that which has been placed under authority. Issuing commands to diseases and demons. It's the gift of faith coming down upon us that enables us to do the works Jesus did. So do you see the difference between your faith, okay, in God, in His mercy, in His salvation, in His deliverance, all right? And then the faith of God that enables you to enforce what the Lord has already accomplished in eternity. He's already overcome the world. We enforce what He's done. We are to put the devil in his place. He's not supposed to be beating you around, beating you down. Amen? It's time to rise up in the faith of God and the confident assurance that comes from Him in His power, amen, and put the devil in his place. Sometimes we say, well, if you know how I am and all the times I've failed God and how rotten I am as a person, and get over yourself. Don't put your confidence in you. If you mess up, you come to Jesus and you confess it and renounce it and you leave it at the altar and don't allow anybody to hand it back to you and don't pick it back up again. It's time to press on, amen? But when that dude, that devil comes along, amen, don't allow him to push you around anymore. Put him on notice. We're putting a stop notice on your works in my life, amen? I'm putting a stop notice on this addiction right here and right now. No more. You will not cross over the bloodline of Jesus. Hallelujah. Something I was reminded of recently. I went to a wedding. You were there. Remember, it just came back to me the other day. And I was doing the wedding, and then I had to go back to the car and get something. And so on the way back, I noticed a couple was fumbling around in their car, and they seemed kind of frantic. So I asked them, I says, is everything okay? He says, no. He said, he's highly allergic to bee stings, and my husband, and he's, you know. So they said they were looking for Dramamine. Benadryl, one of them. And so they couldn't find it. And just the Lord dropped in me like, pray for him, you know. So I said, well, can I pray for you? And he kind of looked a little and he goes, okay. So I said, let me see your arm. And I just told him the hand. And I said, I put a stop notice on this poison right now. It goes no further in Jesus' name. And then I said, amen. And then it went on because I had to get my stuff and I had to get back. And so a little while later, to my surprise, ye of little faith, you know, I'm just saying this because this is what God is calling us, amen, as a people to step out in. Because it really rocked his world when he saw that God's power, amen, is still the same and that Jesus actually healed him. That thing stopped. He says, he showed all he had is like a little mosquito bite. He says, that's just never happened before. I said, give glory to God. I said, we give praise to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And, you know, I'm wondering if you're here today and you need a touch from the Lord. Hallelujah. That doesn't matter if you've prayed 100 times today. I want you to exercise faith of God by calling on the Lord and asking Him to help your unbelief and to grant you the grace of faith to believe, amen, for the person that you pray for, that God is going to touch them today. Today. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name that you will confirm your word. You will confirm your word with accompanying signs. Because you are faithful to your word. And Lord, I know there are those here this morning that need your touch, that need your healing. And so we're asking you in Jesus' name, Lord, to touch and heal those who are sick among us. Lord, that you will heal those injuries, that you even, Lord, heal those who are bound by addiction this morning. That, Lord, we're believing that you came to set the captives free. You came to break the chains. That we will not be bound by anything because you have already overcome it. And your power, your grace is more than enough to deal with that devil right now. We believe no demon has any right or authority over a child of God who's been authorized in Jesus' name to take that authority and put him in his place. And so I want, if you need healing today, raise your hand. Just raise it high. Amen. If you need healing today, all right. So I want you to see those who are around you with their hands up. And I want you to gather. And I want you to exercise faith today. Amen. Just go ahead and move out from where you're at and go to those who are with their hands up. And let's believe God today. And we will be careful to give God the praise for it. Father, I thank you right now. In Jesus' name, we come against sickness, we come against disease, we come against all demons that would cause sickness or disease or infirmity. Satan, we reject you in Jesus' name, we rebuke you in Jesus' name, we command you to take your hands off God's people right now in Jesus' name. We command healing. In Jesus' name. We command that come back in in Jesus' name. A reversal on that thing right now in Jesus' name. Reversal. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody just say, be healed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Speak to that. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we pray right now in Jesus' name that back be healed in Jesus' name now. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Be healed. Backs be healed. Necks be healed. Internal organs be healed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 We command migraine headaches to cease. Stop now. No more. In Jesus' name. Be healed today. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We command all sickness and disease, get out. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We give you the praise. Lord, we ask you to touch those who are listening online right now. We send the word. Be healed in Jesus' name. Now, sickness goes. Disease goes now. Infirmity goes now. All spirits that cause it, get out. In Jesus' name. Plead the blood of Jesus Christ over this gathering, over every heart and mind and person, every body. Thank you for the healing, Lord, that you have provided for in the atonement. For today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of healing. Today is the day of deliverance. Today is the day of restoration. Hallelujah. So be restored in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Be renewed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Be strengthened in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.